sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's going on, guys? We are back. It's the Red Light Special. And this one is definitely special. But before we get into that, I just want to shout out to Jake and Papa. Kristen is back, man. I feel like I don't see you enough. How you doing?
I think I see you enough.
Damn.
And shout out to Eswit, too. Speaking of Jake and Papa, I see that they have something that they're working on together while they were here in New York. Mm-hmm. They went up over to the Hot New Hip Hop office. So I'm excited to see what they have coming out.
That's dope. Super fans of Jake and Pop and Hot New Hip Hop. Shout out mm-hmm. to Eswit. Shout out to Sorrow. What's been good with you? You been doing any more acting lately? Any more roles? I feel like some big things are happening.
A little bit. I don't think I could still speak on what I'm doing specifically.
Right.
But still the Netflix series that I'm yeah. working on, doing some stuff. Been meeting some good people,
you know,
my trip to Miami definitely helped, and
right.
I think I'll be taking a trip to LA next month, so just trying to take everything a little bit more to the next level this time around.
So you're not gonna leave us, right?
I can't say.
Oh shit, that
can't
was a long
call
pause.
It.
Okay, we're gonna get right into it right now, because I can't deal with this right now. This week's guest, we got a dope guest this week.
Very dope.
We got a very dope guest. This week's guest is a veteran who, I mean, mm-hmm. has performed on the biggest stages, right? But yet it feels like she's still just getting started. We first met the singer-songwriter on Diddy's Making the Band on his MTV show back in 2005. She was an original member of Danny DeCane and went on to make hits with Puff and Kalina on their Diddy Dirty Money project. And as a soloist, she's released a number of studio albums already, including her latest, Black Heart, which came out earlier this year. I need you to just welcome to the podcast, Miss Dawn Richard.
Oh, you said Dawn? Yes.
Wait.
My name, great.
Wait. Are you? Does this
definitely
surprise you?
I mean, that's one of the reasons why now I just go by Dawn. People were like, "Oh, you're trying to be special," and I'm like, "No, I'm just trying to not hear my name be butchered," because they never get my last name right. But you said it great. So awesome.
Thank you. But I feel bad accepting props for that because.
Yeah,
it's my job to get your name.
Well, thank you for taking that. Yeah, no, I think it's just it's a westernized thing. I think people see it because it looks like Richard, but
right.
you know, if you come from New Orleans or you go to Haiti or like when I was in Haiti, they immediately said Richard. I think it's just about where you're from and what you're used to saying. It's all good though. Dawn is just Dawn.
Just Dawn.
Just Dawn.
Dawn,
yeah.
And then I mean, but the A is a triangle. Now, like,
yeah, but
logo
it
was.
Yeah, but that's not like.
How do I type that out? I'm trying to figure out.
Wait, listen.
The font.
Okay,
do
first of all, yeah,
keyboard?
No. First of all, the triangle, the triangle is just for visual purposes.
Okay.
Like, I've been a fan of art for a long time, mm-hmm. and visually, I like the aesthetic of it. But the triangle is going with the trilogy that I had originally started with. So there's always a purpose to it. It wasn't to be difficult.
Right.
It's just was signifying the trilogy. And this was the third, especially with this being the last installment.
Right.
I thought it'd be cool to represent that because people normally know me as Dawn Richard. So when they see it, they know that that's based off of the trilogy that we had gone against. But to make it easy for people, if you just put in Dawn, it's good. It's not like,
okay.
I'm not trying to be...
I'm down, though. I mean, if there's a special emoji or like a Dawn emoji or something like
hey,
that, I would use that.
I appreciate that, you know. And we just was literally looking on iTunes, and there's an artist that is literally, what is this? What are the Pac-Mans?
Oh, yeah, the Greater Than Less Than.
The Greater Than Less Mans, right? Less Than. And then there, it's like an eyeball, which is the semi, like literally, it's a robot face.
Right.
That's the group.
Oh, the purple one? Wait, no, I'm going.
The group is not, they're on the iTunes and they literally, it's the robot face.
Robot
like if you would make
face.
It on with the greater than and less than. So my thing is like, what is that on Vivo?
Right.
How do you put that in?
How right. do I search?
So everybody complaining about my triangle, get into that group and see how that feels.
Well, first of all, we all going to blame Prince. Prince just went up and changed
basically,
his thing to,
right.
to symbol. But, Dawn.
Yes.
Listen, I've been a fan for a long time.
Thank
like,
you very much.
I was one of them dudes just tuning in every week to Making the
oh
Band.
Oh, my God.
And to see all that drama. But not only for the drama, the Danny DeCane episodes and the Day 26 season as well. To really, because I was always fascinated at how music comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always liked seeing the creation process. Like, so you would hear, like, stems of songs and snippets of things being recorded, and you'd be like, oh, that sound kind of hot. And then when the season ends, like, you'll hear like the full song.
That's how, that's what it came out to be.
So I always cool. And the drama, I ain't gonna lie, the drama was,
of course,
was coming back.
I was not attracted to some drama, but
thinking back then, right, did you know that Danity Kane was gonna be a springboard for a solo career and kind of where you are now, or did it feel like forever?
Because we were just talking about that. Like, I never wanted to be a solo artist, contrary to what everybody like. I was in a choir, and I was always like in groups. Like, I was on a softball team. I was supposed to go to Olympics for softball. Like, I was really like about softball, and I was on a NBA dance team. So like, I was always about girl. Like, I was always about team. So when I did the stand in the line for making the band, I got in the line to be in a group. So I wanted to be in the group. So I had no idea not only what the group would be, but I had no idea what the TV thing was. I was so not prepared for any of that. And I think I wasn't the only one that didn't know. The label didn't know either. They didn't believe in us at all. I remember they were like, we're not going to put out more than 100,000 copies because they're not going to do better than Cassie. And we sold out in the first day.
Wow.
We were not, like, I don't think anyone was aware of how powerful that the show was going to be. You know, we weren't, like, let alone me. Yeah, no. I didn't also know that that yellow wig or weave that I was wearing would look the way it did on the show as well. However, we found that out later as well. So I didn't know a lot of things.
I think with things like that, it's, everything comes a little bit unexpected, especially when it comes to like a TV program and all eyes are just watching.
And it was the first of its kind. You know, that was really the first time, reality TV was making a breakthrough, was making the band series, like, you know, with Old Town and the Da Band and all of that. Like,
the band. Yo, can I?
Listen.
I bought the band out. Like, contrary to the stigma.
They were dope. Like,
yo, they
were dope.
Joints.
I think, but Puff has an ear. I think that's the thing. Like, I think beyond the crazy, it was genuine. We were all just kids who had bigger dreams, and we were all coming from different places and walks of life. I think it got really interesting when Puff took it to women, which, number one, is already crazy because women are way more emotional. And second, diversification. The fact that it was different nationalities. That's totally different upbringings being brought together. That's a lot of drama, and I think he knew that, and I just don't think he knew it would be that musically successful.
That's funny, because before that, and Danity Kane, you're right, like, New Edition, were from Boston, black teenagers from Boston, and then here comes New Kids on the Block, which is the white version.
And, well, I mean, it goes way beyond that. When you talk about the
Menudo,
Beatles.
You had the
Beatles, and it goes on and on. I mean, I think that's just the way the industry was. I think Puff was trying to tap into that, but again, it was such a new thing. I don't think he was even aware. I think if we would have even put out more records the way we did, more time, like way more, I think we would have went way beyond 200,000, way beyond. Yeah.
Right. Nah, that was,
with
that
was no single. Fun. We didn't have a single. We didn't have a number one single.
Well, Damage.
It was Showstopper at the time.
Showstopper. Right.
And Showstopper was not anywhere close to any pop charts.
Right.
It wasn't until the second album, when Damage came, that it became what it became. But we sold number one, those kind of numbers. And at that time, you had to have a hit record. Like, it was a different time. Mm-hmm. And that's why we were in the Guinness Book of Records. We were the first girl group to ever go back to back number one like that.
Right.
See, but with all that success, because I do remember, even with Showstopper, Damage, Danity Kane was a thing.
It was,
like,
a thing.
It was definitely a thing. I almost compared to how 3LW was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Danity Kane was a thing.
I don't think we knew it was a thing either. Like, it was so, we didn't have anything. And contrary to what everybody else was seeing, it was hard. Like, it was a struggle. Like, we had to prove a lot of things all the time. So I think it was just interesting. I think I finally realized it was a thing now.
Looking back.
Like, now. Yeah.
See, but you're dealing with a couple of girls. I always think, and we see this on the show oftentimes, that when it comes to girl groups, it's almost like oftentimes they do not work out. Why didn't Danity Kane work out exactly?
People always ask me that. It's a hard thing to answer because I don't know what the other girl felt. Like everybody had their vision. I can't say with anything with groups or anything, like male or female, everybody has to have the same vision. They have to have the same idea of where they want to go. I think for us, I don't know if this is why we didn't make it, but this is why we had tumultuous times. I think it's because we all had different visions of where we saw the group and ourselves in the group. And that's real life. You know, I think when you put strangers together, You right. can't expect us, and we don't. We like you said, New Edition was boys that grew up together.
Yeah, yeah.
We were strangers from New Orleans, Atlanta, Palm Springs. Like that's like such a different dynamic. Like Upland and Bend, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's no way that we could, you know, Shannon wanted to be a country singer when I first met her. There's just a dynamic of like, we just were trying to figure out what we saw for ourselves and each other in that same dynamic. And I think we did a hell of a job lasting as long as we did with that equation, because yeah. that's a lot of different in one thing.
Different walks of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. So I think it was really not so much why we didn't make it, but I'm proud that we made it as long as we did and did the numbers that we did being so separate and so different. I think that was pretty brilliant what we did.
Right.
Yeah.
I was surprised that you guys came back to try to do it again. I used to work at MTV.
Yeah.
And so I remember the 2013, I feel like, VMA Awards in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And we were on the carpet and we saw Danny Kane walk the carpet.
And we sure did walk 2 miles to get to our car after it. And everybody was like, can we take a picture? And we was like, oh, okay. Looking like a hell crap. Walking 2 miles because our car, listen, y'all don't even know.
In heels?
Girl. Yes.
You know I gotta ask.
Yes, girl. Like, we look crazy. We had the craziest situations. Like, right. yo,
crazy.
But I commend you for even trying, like...
Well, the reason
like, why
I say
are we coming back together? This
well,
like
I think the reason
time.
Why, because to be honest, and again, people don't even know. I think people have an idea, but they don't even like. Mm. I had always said no, and people hated me because they would reach out to do it again, and I would always say no, and people were like, "You just a hater." And the reason why I said no is because I felt like if we couldn't come correct, we should not come at all, and if we all aren't back in shape, ready to go at our best vocally, like, let's not play with these fans. You know, that's right. just disrespect. When we got hit up, I thought about that reality. Like, I mm-hmm. thought about how big, when I tell y'all I realized how big we were, I respected it. And so I was like, you know what? This solo thing is cool and I enjoy it. But nothing was as big as what we created because it was really incredible. And if we could have finished the chapter, how excited would the fans be? And not only that, we would have proved the world wrong. That was exciting to me. So I said yes to it because I thought we could do great things. But, you know, you have an idea. And once again, if everybody's not on the same page, that idea can be really great. And I think we all had good intentions in the idea, but we were just on different pages where we saw ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you this. Now that you're solo now, looking back at how everything turned out with Danity Kane, if you were given a second chance, would you do that all again? Or would you do it differently?
I hate that question. The only reason why is because it is like it's happened. I don't believe in going back and wishing it was supposed to be what it was supposed to be. Because if I never did that, I probably wouldn't have the tenacity that I have. Like, you know what I mean? I found out how much I love this. And I think it had to go through all of the bullshit to get to a place where I realize who I am and what I want in this industry. Would I want the bullshit that came with it? Would I want to be viewed the way people think they view me? No, because people really believe that I destroyed a group, you know what I mean? Like, off of what they saw on a TV show. And that is not the fuck who I am, like, at all. And people are basing their opinions off of something that is being fed to them that is a false idea. Like, it's like part true and part this. So, you know, but that's just the way life is. You got to keep moving, you know?
And that's what reality TV is. That's why I'm
that's why
that,
that was when
here.
It was genuine, but it was genuine. And I think I can appreciate us because now reality TV is so false. It's scripted. That wasn't scripted. That was real. And I think some were more prepared than others. I was not. And so I was very, very like, I didn't have a personality during making a band. I was very job. And I think maybe if I would have shown my personality a bit more, people would have already knew who I was instead of trying to get to know me through what was fed to them. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, had I known Puff was going to dismantle this shit and do all of this stuff, I'd have been like, homie, like, bro, don't throw me under the bus like this. We even had conversations like, yo, can you please back this up? And, you know, Puff is Puff. He going to make sure his situation is good. That's not a negative thing. That's just love on what he's doing.
Right.
We were just a small piece of a brand that was massive. He didn't have time to, like, feed this little baby over here and say, let me help you out. You
know, well, he must have took a liking to you because...
No, he's homie.
Yeah,
Diddy
Dirty Money comes around.
But again, I think his liking affected me and my group. Mm-hmm. Because their idea of me was she wanted to be solo because he liked me. And that was...
Well, let's get down to it. Why did he like you? You said the perception of you on the show was work, 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 work.
Right. But that's your vision. But okay. The masses saw a group that they really loved get broken up. And they saw a girl say, well, you was doing some solo stuff with here. And you was... So people get what they are fed. You're a worker in an industry that sees it a different way.
Right.
I think when Puff asked me to do certain things, like he would ask me to go sing, or if one of his artists weren't working, I was the closest to the sound of like Keisha Cole's record Last Night.
Yeah.
She couldn't make the Much Music thing in Canada. This was a while ago. And he was like, yo, he was trying to find somebody, and Mary was like not around. And he was like, yo, you have a tone, that heavy tone. Will you do it? And he was like, I'll pay you and everything. It'll just be a one-off. Never in a million years would I thought if I did that, that my group would think that I was trying to be a solo artist. I mean, I'm just doing what my boss is giving me an opportunity, and I'm like, yo, I'll do it because it helps the group. It all helps the group.
And also, if you say no, I mean,
I don't know but not only that, in my group at the time, my other group members were doing other things. Aubrey was doing magazines and Broadway, and Dee Woods was with her sister Chanel, and they was doing like cool things with, I know Chanel from Cash
Money. Yeah, from Cash Money, yeah.
So it was cool. I just think maybe because Puff took a liking, it came off a certain way. And me not really knowing how to work press and all of that stuff, I just was going along because I was excited to work. Had I known that it was going to come off a certain way, I would have maybe thought it through. But I mean, you have to ask yourself, if you're in a job, if your boss tells you to do something,
you do it.
You do it.
You take the
especially
opportunity.
Because Puff bought me out of a contract to be on Bad Boy before on the show that y'all never saw. I was in a contract with another label in New Orleans, and Puff bought me out of it. So it wasn't as easy to say, but it was never shown. So y'all never knew that. But there was an obligation with Puff. I couldn't just be like, oh, you fire homegirl, I'm out, I'm going to be with my girls. He would have buried me alive, like, because he spent money on me.
Back home, like at New Orleans or something, like you said.
He got me out of a contract.
That's what you're saying. Wow.
So I had to make him money.
Right.
This is a business.
So you already started in the hole, is what you're saying.
And they
right?
knew that. The girls knew that, but the world didn't know that. So it wasn't like I was like, oh, screw the girls. It was like I had to make a choice on whether or not I was going to be shelved.
But, you know, you talk about the perception of you in the media and stuff like that. Something did come out in the media that during this last Danny DeCane go around and break up that you punched Aubrey.
Yeah, that wasn't
in the
false.
Head.
That wasn't false. I didn't hit her in the head, but I did check her. And again,
did you hit her? Did you put hands on her?
Yeah, I checked her, and I actually admitted it and then apologized for it.
Right.
But again, it wasn't no angry black woman just going to hit somebody. If you ask anyone who's known me, I've never put hands on anybody ever. I'm not even that girl. But I think disrespect is a real thing, and I've been rather patient with the way in which a lot of things were handled. And I think all of us have played a part in this destruction of what we've become as a group and what this name is. But as a woman, you know, I refuse to be disrespected. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'll take certain things, but only her and I and Shannon know what happened in that room. And I think there was a level of disrespect on all levels. And you hold yourself accountable for the things you do, but you also choose as a person and as a businesswoman whether or not you want to be in something that is not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I love our fan base, and I would do anything for them. And those who know that I would, but I will not sit in something as a woman that makes me unhappy in order to please somebody where I'm just miserable. Like, that's just not. And I think that was the choice Drea made. That's why she left. She was not happy with what
well,
that
she
was.
She seemed like she was caught in the middle of, cause she seemed like the
no,
coolest.
She was, no.
No.
Okay. It wasn't like that.
That's the perception too.
No, Drea is amazing.
Right.
Drea did not get along with that over there. And so Drea made a choice to leave because she did not want to be in something that made her unhappy. She loves music, but that's a choice she made. I think I tried, but I love to sing, and I want to make our group the best group it can possibly be. And the market is extremely competitive. These girls can sing. They're talented. I don't want us to ever step up, and we cannot compete with this market. So all I ever asked was, if we're in the music part of it, let's be the best we can possibly be. I get that everybody wants to shine, and everybody should shine. But I want not just one person to shine, but the group to kill everything in the market. That's a choice. If we don't agree on that, then I don't want to be a part of something that's just okay because we want everybody to be able to be stars. That's not what I signed up for. I signed up for us to be great. I wanted us to be the best.
Sounds like she's been hanging out with Diddy. This,
right?
I'm getting, but that's like, real. I'm like, that's real. I mean, that's real. It's real. Like, if you're the best dancer, then I want you to be standing in front of me and kill it. If you great in television, please take us to the top in TV. If you can sing and kill it and you can run this girl out of like the building with your singing, do it. Like, that's what a team is. The moment we try to overstep each other and what we're the best at, we lose, because now we're just fighting to be seen instead of fighting to be great. That's two different things, to be seen or to be great. I joined it again because I wanted us to be great, and I wanted people to look at us way differently artistically. So I was going to be quiet about the other stuff, but the moment we got in the studio, that's when I got vocal, because I felt like I had worked hard enough in my own career to be able to have a little bit of a voice in what we do sonically, and that was a problem.
Okay.
And that's okay. Again, just different views. Nobody was wrong. We weren't on the same page.
If you go back a third time, though, it's shame on you.
No, I'm not. I'm not. No, I would never. I would never.
Point.
No, I would never, just because the fans.
Right. Yeah.
They paying for it. They got to sit here. The fans have been fighting about us, and they still talking about us. Like, even us now, we're still talking about this issue. Right. My dream is that I can walk away from this and move forward, because I've been trying to move forward. Like, I never wanted to hurt the DK name. I always wanted it to be great. And if it's great with other people, then good. Like, I never had a problem with that. I even told the Stereotypes, this is real, for real. When the whole stuff happened, I told them, yo, if the girls don't want me on it, don't take my vocals. Don't go in the studio and sneak in and sing over me. Let them just do the whole album. And I kid you not, on my grandmother who is like dead, they said, no, we ain't putting out an album with just them two.
Wow.
And I said, you need to tell them that. Like, why would you make them believe that? And then I swear that was told to me. I was cool. They could have released the whole DK project with just their vocals. I even said that, I swear on everything, and they would not do it. I was cool with that. If whatever it is, I just don't want to be a part of something negative. That was the whole beat.
You know what's dope is something that another side of you that people don't know. When you talk about, it reminded me when you said you just want the DK name to be good.
Yeah.
Is that you came up with the name Danity Kane, and you were like drawing a comic book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The coolest shit ever.
Right. I mean, I had a whole vision for us with that too, dude. Like, but yeah, I mean, I was able to still, and I'm able to still do it now. It's still my baby. But out of respect, again, for the fans, I don't want to draw a comic book from a name. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to keep bringing up stuff that's sour.
Right,
it's sour. So I just left it as is. If I ever do another anime thing, which I probably will do, because I'm a huge nerd.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a huge nerd. It'll be something different. You know, I'm going to leave DK to be what I remember it to be. And we were great as five. We were great, and we did some amazing things. And I think it's time for everybody to literally, for real, support everybody from their own things and move the hell on. Like, because it's just negative, yo. It's super negative. And now people talk about me hitting somebody and all the negative instead of talking about the fact that we were in the Guinness Book of Records.
Right.
That was my bad for making a choice based off of what I thought would be great. Right. I thought we could do it. Yeah.
Well, you can't help yourself for trying and wanting to ask for something.
I think at the end of the day,
that's what makes you the person that you are. And that's a great thing to have.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, just so sad because people only get half the thing. So they never really know. And I'm so good at just leaving and disappearing. Sometimes that's not a good thing. Sometimes people really need to know what the hell happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's dope. The dope thing about you is you say, a lot of people say when there's drama, I'm ready to move on. I want to change the story. I want to change the narrative, but don't do anything and just stay there. You are actually moving your story forward.
Yeah.
You have been for years.
Yeah.
Which is solo stuff.
Yeah.
Which is real experimental. I feel like it's really great. Like, the Black Heart album is really a different sound.
Yeah.
It take a lot of guts.
Yeah, I mean, that evolution has been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I said a statement a long time ago and someone took it out of context. I said, people always like to compare me to Brandy. And she's one of the best vocalists to me, mm-hmm. completely. But growing up, there's a difference between influential and, like, for real, like, appreciation. I grew up literally the Cranberries, Bjork, Kate Bush, Imogen Heap, like, loving them. So I've always wanted to do experimental music. even as a kid, like my Sweet 16 was an anime part. Like it was just dance. Like it was raved out. Listen,
super nerd.
That was super nerd. Like crazy. But for real, that was who I was. And my mom had a hard time with that because she didn't understand it. My dad went to the Green Day concert, first concert, was a little confused. Everybody was, perplexed about what I was. But I always knew what I liked. So this is a long time coming. But I understood after a while that music boxes you in. And when I got into this business, I didn't realize that if I did one genre of music, people would expect you to do that for the rest of your life. Because I never was like that. I appreciated the Brandys of the world, to the Sade's, but to the Imogen Heaps, and they were all great to me, you know? So I didn't understand that dynamic until now. So I've had to baby feed. So Black Heart is my first attempt at really pushing people. Golden Heart was it's a slow, gradual feeding so that people can understand. Because if I did it too abruptly, I think I would have lost a lot of people anyway.
But it's funny. I think being a Black artist, people love to box you in. But nobody boxed Madonna in. Madonna was able to move from pop.
That's a realization that you have to learn. Me, I refuse to be bitter about it. I observe it, and then I figure it out.
And then the other thing is, I think there's this notion that electric music, that dance music, isn't Black music. Like, it's a white thing or other thing.
That's
like
what we were talking about.
But I think it's being embraced a little more now than ever. Which I think is the smartest thing
but
for
still,
you to
it
do
hasn't,
it slowly.
Exactly. But still, it isn't. That's why I'm excited about what I'm doing. Right. There's no one doing it that looks like me.
But I grew up on, like, CC Music Factory, like, CC Peniston, it's crazy that, they feel like all we could do is rap or sing gospel.
Right. it's a real reality, and I have that issue a lot, and I think I have that issue with even my Black culture in general. Like, I hear a lot of comments like, I miss the old Dawn. I wish Dawn would do this. Why she can't just do normal music? Why is R&B? And they don't even realize they're doing it subconsciously. They just see us as, our own culture sees us as one thing. Mm-hmm. We can't possibly see ourselves as further. And I've always been that way, like always. So like for me, this is the most exciting of times. And I'm so glad you said that intro. It was so gnarly for you to say, even though I've been a veteran, it's like I'm starting fresh. Because I want to reintroduce myself to everybody the right way, like to where there's no strings and no TV things to show you. Like, I really want people to get to know really who I am, because I don't think they really know. I think everybody just guessing. Mm-hmm. They guessing what it is from this moment, this person say this person. I'm like, I don't think they really know like what it is. And again, this market is so wide open. It's so wide open, and it's so flexible, because the tracks live in a place where your vocal ability can really grow. And but Black Heart, I had an opportunity to really do that. And I think that's why people have loved this album the most. The critics really gave me love on this one, way bigger than Golden Heart, because I think even though it's my most experimental vocally, I'm really pushing the dynamic of what the vocal is supposed to be. It's not just singing. It's an instrument, a part of the tracks as well.
You have Black Heart and you have Golden Heart. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you're doing like a slow transition with your sound, mm-hmm. so that it's not just out of the blue. Is there a reason why you chose those two titles, Black Heart and Golden Heart?
Because I think that's how I transitioned through life. And I think people can relate. I had a naive stage, which was golden. You know, when you're in your gold. And Gustav Klimt is one of my favorite painters. It's incredible. I really love what he does. His aesthetic is beautiful. And I wanted to kind of image that on Golden Heart, because I think gold to me seems so extravagant. And so you're naive. Everything is, I'm shiny and I'm great and I can go through the world. So Golden Heart was the naive part of me. It was overwhelming. The tracks were 15, 16 tracks, like hella aggressive, like just giving you everything at once. Overwhelming. And then I had a fall. My dad got diagnosed with cancer. DK situation happened. Like, it was just a lot of shit. And that was the Black part. You know what I mean? Like, that was my blackest moment. And I think visually and aesthetically and sonically, that was where I was. So I could relate that to color, because people, I think, relate sight and visuals. Color creates emotion. And then the red arrow that's coming up, the Redemption Heart. Red is vibrant. It is my most exciting place I'm in right now, because I feel like I've found myself. It's self-realization, redemption. So the sound becomes jubilant. It becomes all mostly up-tempo. So where Black Heart was mid, you know, beats per minute around 78, 90 around that time, up-tempo, we're going to start talking about 130, 160 for the Red Era. So it just, it's a creation of how you feel. It's visual. It's not just sonic.
It's that damn deep. Molly music.
You know what I'm saying? It's not, I think it's as deep as you want it to be, too. I think I try to give depth to it. You know, if it wants to be simple, you just see it as bang, bang, bang. This sounds good. This looks good. But it can be read as so much deeper than what you see. It's just how far you want to go. So I try to make it as shallow, but as deep as you can so that everybody can commit to it in some way or form, whether it looks good aesthetically or they understand the underlining of it.
I like that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Billie Jean. I saw something really smart. So aside from doing this podcast, I also work at Genius, Rap Genius.
Yeah, okay.
So where, you know, they put up the lyrics and fans annotate the lyrics.
Yeah.
And somebody drew a correlation between your Billie Jean and Michael Jackson's.
Yeah.
And I want to see if there was a connection.
Yeah.
Where Michael Jackson's Billie Jean was a gold digger, a woman that was reliant on another man to make her way in the world. You sing of a Billie Jean, she's just a little more badass.
She's not only badass, but it's the woman's perspective and the appreciation of not judging. I've learned as a woman, I wanted to show not a negative perspective, but not even a positive, but just an understanding of what Billie Jean was. And Billie Jean has been a very popular idea these days where you can create a whole career off of being a Billie Jean. Mm-hmm. And so So it was an expression of a modern day Billie Jean. And as a woman, how Michael came about it was very, not judgmental, but his way of understanding what she was. Mine was as if I was sitting at a table with her and not judging her, but understanding the devil's advocate of it all. And then at the end of it saying, well, what is the difference between me and her? Because she may be selling herself, but I'm selling my journey to get to another place in the business in a different way. Mm. We're all selling something to get somewhere. So it had the end of it making it feel like, am I a Billie Jean or can I relate to Billie Jean? So it's a question of why judge when it's all perspective.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah.
Come on,
so
Michael.
I thought what he did was genius. It was I mean, I would never be able to touch Billie Jean. That wasn't the point to touch it. The point was to take an idea of something which in that day and time was very different than what it is now. Mm. And instead of looking at a woman as a negative, because we don't have a lot of women speaking on a woman in that context positively. Mm. Right. I don't look up on it or down on it. I'm just observing it and seeing how it relates to me and even this business and what we've come to and what the Billie Jean has evolved into. Because it's evolved. The person that he's talking about is now the winner in the game. Like, could make the song about him now. Like, right. She probably got about...
play smart.
Yeah, you know? You feel me? And I appreciated that. Not for what it was, but just the idea of the modernization of it. You know what I mean? Like, that was cool to me. Like, how we've evolved. And it's pretty not sad, but just a sign of the times.
That's dope. Look at that. It's I'm gonna take that back to Genius now and say, well,
I mean, he wasn't far off at all. Yeah,
that's dope.
It's cool that they're doing that, man. That's the whole point. I used to do that with poetry.
Yeah,
when you had to go take literature class and they tell you to take a William Blake poem and like dissect it, the worst but
I
the
took
best
literature too, and that was the funnest part of
everything. So good.
You can go so many ways with just three
with
words.
One, the sun is shining could be so many different things. Like, you like her? What?
That didn't even mean anything.
We gotta get you on the site and
I would love to.
I think you would have like fun.
A blast,
You know, sometimes the fans get deep. I remember one time I was interviewing J-Rock. I had annotated something that he said, and I took it. I related it to Malcolm X and this whole deep thing. And he was like, "Bruh, that's not what I meant." But keep it because I like your interpretation.
I was
interpretation
just about
way,
Drake
but,
and stuff. And you just took it. That's amazing.
Made that much better.
So it's funny how like different, you know, just fans just interpret your lyrics where they can either be spot on or they might find meaning that you may never have intended, but
they do that with a lot of my visuals as well. Tide, when I put out Tide, I worked with the company We Were Monkeys, and animation, I loved it. And you should see the comments on that. They're like, it's because the devil and the earth is falling. I'm like, yo, y'all going ham.
First of all, the other thing is, speaking of the videos, the choreography on these new videos are really powerful.
Thank you. It's
powerful.
What one of my people don't even know. Like, I was dancing way longer than I was singing.
Right.
Way longer.
I mean,
it's my passion.
Cheerleading, right?
One of the
cheerleading came later. my mom owned a dancing school, so she had to, you know, work. So by the time I was two, I had tights on and I had to go. And so that was that. And then later, it wasn't really cheering because the NBA is more, it's dance. It's more dance. So I did that for 3 years. And it was amazing. So, yeah, I only did it, though, because I wanted to sing the national anthem. And they were very political, and you had to know somebody. So I was like, well, I'll just try out for the dance team, and that'll be my way in, and I'll see if I can get it. I made it and then wound up singing. So that was the only reason why I did it.
This was the Hornets?
Yeah, that was the only reason why I did it.
That is awesome.
I was going to do the Saints, but I was like, the Saints cheerleaders are very, like, prissy.
Yeah.
And I was not trying to do that. I wanted to dance.
Wait,
you know?
Who was on the Hornets team when you was...
Anderson and PJ, okay, and Baron Davis.
Baron Davis. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. For wow. 3 years, yeah.
That's super dope. Want to ask you about dance. So dance is off of...
That's the Red Era.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you back-to-backed it with the Billie Jean.
Well, because I was ending like the last era. Right. So I always want to make sure things are cohesive and they make sense. And I didn't want to... They had been dying for me to do Billie Jean, like all the fans. And I, you know, I'm so grateful for my, like, my movement. Like, they are... My fan base is gnarly. Like, they're too good to me. And they had been saying it slickly and ever so loudly, please do a video for Billie Jean. Yeah. So I had to do that. So I ended it with Billie Jean, and then you see the red smoke that signifies the new Red Era, and then dance is a lot of like there's a lot of red in it to signify the new era.
Mm-hmm. You're like the musical version of what's in it? The Wachowski brothers, the brothers who did The Matrix. Like,
that's
like
a really big compliment. Thank you.
I just feel like
thank you. Yay.
And the nerd side comes out.
Yo,
that's because I knew who he was. Yeah, it's great. Like, did you see the Animatrix, by the way? The anime?
My nerd level.
She just out-nerded me. It's so good. Like, you got to see. It's like the animated version of The Matrix, but it's like really gnarly, and they come in series, and they're animated so bomb.
First of all, you said gnarly three times in this interview.
Sorry.
Which is amazing. No, that's dope. I like that's your own swag, your own thing. But how I compared it to The Matrix was like, they used to end on like cliffhangers, like literally like the second Matrix. Like, I remember being in the theater and was like, yo, like,
you leave it can't
end. Like, what do you, I have to wait a whole nother year. And you kind of did that with the Billie Jean video and ending it with dance. It's like, wait, hold on.
But that's the point, because we're not done. And this one is such a big one that I'm going through extra lengths to make sure that this final one is worth the wait. So I've been really making a lot of business decisions and meeting people that are like imperative to the next part of this chapter.
What are you going to do? Because I know you released like special vinyl for Blackheart. Like, it always
each
seems
one
like
has a different
special.
Yeah, the last era Golden Heart was Shades, Blackheart was vinyl, and we did a Black Era Shades to go with that, which is on CocoAndBreezy.com if you guys want to get some. They're amazing. And I have the mirror shade and the regular, so for boys and girls, it's both sex.
That's
friendly. And then I don't know what I'm gonna do the Red Era, you know. I've been debating, but I want to do something great. So I don't know, I think I have a really cool idea that I want to do in the winter, that I'm gonna be announcing, that I'm doing a really cool collaboration with, that I think is gonna be cool, and it'll be a cool way into the Red Era too. But I always want to give the fans something beyond just music,
right?
Because they can become collector's items. You know, so like 10 years from now, I want them to talk about it and be like, yo, you got the gold one? The gold wasn't my favorite. Black was the one. Nah, they have a fight about which one. And that's cool. Like, you know, when people say, no, I like this one better. I wanted people to, like, gravitate to whatever one. They may not like the Black era. They may like more R&B side of Golden Heart, but that's the point. So you got all these fans, like, fighting over why they like the other one. It's cool.
I love that you color coordinate it.
Well, yeah, because it's visual, you know, and when you see, you know, when people see stuff, it affects emotion. And sometimes nowadays people, you know, they're a little harder to convince. So I think when you give them something visually aesthetic, they can relate to it better. Some people don't want to read. They just want to see. So I tried to make something that was for everybody, touch, feel, everything, so they can, it evokes emotion.
And then you worked with Esther Dean, right, on dance?
She's so great. Yeah.
Talk about, because I don't think Esther gets enough credit.
Oh, no, I don't think she cares. Like, I think people don't even realize how wealthy this girl is, not with money, but wealthy in character and in talent. Like,
she
is
wealthy with money too.
Listen, but I didn't want to give her business out like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, this girl is incredible and a good person. What she did for me is so great. You know, she gave me this record off Love, and she just believes in me, and I can't thank her enough for that. She's just really incredible. Yeah.
You know who Esther Dean is, Kristen?
So, Fireworks. You know that record? She wrote it.
She
Rio soundtrack. You know that one, the Rio cartoon. The Rio the with
cartoon,
the birds.
Wasn't that a movie that
she wrote
too?
That song.
She
I could keep going on it.
She
like,
wrote a lot of the Rihanna stuff as well.
Spaceships, Starships with whatever that Starships with Nicki Minaj wrote that.
But she,
Love and Potion, Pills and Potion.
Pills and Potion. But when I'm sitting back listening to Rihanna and being like, damn, and the music just sounds so sexy and it's like a fantasy about Rihanna, it's like, nah, that's Esther Dean.
Yeah. And her twisted sexy mind. Yeah.
That's Esther Dean.
She's just the queen of hooks, yo. She know how to write it. Yeah.
She's super dope. Another question. I had a question for you for James Dean, and I was just wondering, with James Dean, the little the violin section, the melody section that starts it off, was that inspired by J. Cole? No, it sounded similar, but
you know what? It could have been. It could have been, because when I gave him James Dean, it was an acapella. Mm. So I don't know if he got that inspiration. It might be. He's so New York, so it could, like, I don't know if, you know, even though J. Cole is, he's Chi-Town, right? He's
J. Cole's from North Carolina, but he blew up in New York. He lived in New York.
Okay, so the sound, whatever that sound, it feels to me like that sound's got an edge of New York to it, but it could be. I don't know, but if it is, that's awesome.
Okay, nah, that's dope. I hear it always reminds me.
Yeah, no, I didn't tell him to do that. He might have, I don't know.
Well, I hope he cleared the sample or that we just blew it up if he went there.
I don't think he did that.
It sounded like inspired. You see how she changed it, right? She was like,
I don't want to put him out there because I didn't hear that.
I'm not putting you on.
Yeah, I was like,
we just talking.
And I didn't hear it. No, but I only heard certain songs from Jay, so I didn't hear that.
Okay.
But I don't want to say no shit, and it did. I don't know.
Oh, I love it.
And then Phoenix. Phoenix is a dope record. You worked with Dre on her. Dre is my, no disrespect, was my favorite from Danny the Gang.
Dre is great, and our relationship is super interesting. Like, we were really cool, and the only reason why we weren't cool in the middle of it was Drea got so mad at Aubrey for something, and yo, me and Shannon tried to like calm the situation because we were like peacemakers at the time, and she was she was so mad. She had some drinks and she was so mad, and I had to pull it to the side because I was always real with her, and I was like, I can't be your friend because you be flip-flopping. You can't be mad at me because you don't like her. Like, don't, you know, I'm gonna be on my own. And that moment on, I kind of was, when we would room, it'd be D and Aubrey, Shannon and Drea, and then I just roomed by myself because it was five of us. Mm-hmm. That was the only reason why we ever lost touch, because I just made a choice because she's a Cancer, so she would let that affect her, and it would like hurt her friendships with people who were really in love with her. When we came back, it was like nothing ever changed, man. She's just a great voice, and I think she respects me because of that real. Mm-hmm. Like, if some shit happened, I'm telling her to her face, like, you know, and I think she's the same in that context. She doesn't know how to be fake. So if some shit bothers her, it's on, you know? And I think I respect that about her, you know? And she's super talented. So when I asked about Phoenix, it was a no-brainer because I think we love music the same. Mm. I think I just tolerate the industry better than she does. She don't know how to deal with that, like, that bullshit. She's like, if she could just have a mic and go through life, I think that's what make her happy. If she could just go through life and sing and not talk to deal with the bullshit.
That's dope. Does Puff hear the new music still, or
I don't know.
Is he aware and in tune with it?
I don't know if he's aware and in tune with it. But he's always supported me. Like, when the Golden Heart album, he tweeted that. When the Black Heart, he tweeted that. And I'm cool with Cassie. That's like, love her, yo. And you know, Sarah, his old assistant, we all still cool. Deontay, his stylist, they all friends. But Puff's hard to get to, so I don't even try. And I think he understands what it is. Like, I'll never forget what he did for me that day when he brought me out of that contract. So no matter what he ever has done, that's a chance. That's an opportunity.
That's dope, because a lot of people, after they stop dealing with Puff, don't always have the most positive things to say.
Puff was never anything more than what I expected him to be.
Mm-hmm. That's dope.
So why would I be mad at him for being exactly who the hell Puff is?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What I know, though, is I saw a lot of great shit because of him. Thank you. That's what's up. You know, I come from 9-1 New Orleans, like, where we didn't have anybody really doing nothing for us, so the appreciation is different.
Right.
Yeah.
Nah, that's want to do something with you.
Let's do anything. Let's go.
Something that we do every episode. Kristen actually gets into it. We have this just relationship advice segment of the show.
Oh, man. Jesus. Yeah. I should never be giving anyone advice. My old crazy ass.
You got a
ass.
Deep mind, so I kind of want to see what
girl,
you
girl, but let's be real. I don't need to be giving nobody no...
We ain't no. talking about her relationship. We ain't bring Q up. We ain't bring...
Listen, y'all. That's a whole nother segment. That's a whole nother thing.
But if you think about it, y'all was one of the first reality couples that
so funny.
We've ever seen. Like, y'all kind of laid the blueprint on...
That's so sad.
For better or for worse.
It was a good... I was in love. I just didn't want to be in love in public.
Right.
I never was a public chick. Ever.
I hit home right there.
Never wanted to be... Like, that was MTV and him. He loved it. No way.
Are you a private person?
Hell yes.
So am I.
Hell yes. Like, and I think that's my downfall. Is because when bad shit happen, nowadays you're supposed to say shit like Twitter, all of this stuff. When shit happen, I disappear, and that causes people to just dream about what the fuck they think it is. So it's hard for me because I would rather literally just do music and then go in somebody's cabin cave in the middle of nowhere and be good.
But
like,
there's a fine line because you can't react. There's certain people that react to it. Like, you know, I say you don't have to agree, but Iggy Azalea, I feel like last year, like every little criticism or every negative story, she was on Twitter
going off.
And then people kind of make things up just to see you react.
Yeah,
you
know, I am never going to be that chick, but yeah. I think my situation is super isolated. Mm. Everything is based off of one thing. And it, like, people don't ever, they only got like two things to say about me because people really don't know me. Right. I never really go out. So it's either I have a new face I punched somebody in the face. That's about as good as the media gets with me. I'm serious.
When is your birthday?
August 5th. Okay. I'm a Leo.
Leo. Mm.
That's about all they got. They don't really have, they keep going with that one. And I'm a flop. They love that one.
Right.
Whatever that means.
I don't know that we could classify you as a flop.
But this is the thing.
I'm
cool with the flop. Thank you.
But you've had success, and now at this point, you're setting your own standard. Like, who are you competing with at this point?
But nobody. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think people are so stuck on their faith, that faith thing. I don't think people really understand that I really am cool with just doing music. Like, I was doing music before I got into making a band. In New Orleans, you could just go and be at a resident at the Blue Nile, and my dad did it. He played weddings, he made a very good living, and we went to private school and we were good and we had a loving family. That's what I grew up on. Right. So I'm not here to be, I never came in here expecting to be.
And I figured at this point, if you wanted to like really sell a whole bunch of records, it's easy.
Well,
to,
I would have
to
took
at,
a deal that Puff asked me and said, yo, I'll go ahead and be an R&B chick and I'll go ahead. I wouldn't go this difficult and take this many risks. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about those things. But you can't really tell that to people who have an idea of what it is. So my name is Flop Keisha. You know, it's cool.
Flop Keisha.
And, you know, but that's cool.
I see
cool.
you as passionate. So I think people obviously are always going to be stuck. Again, when you come out, Tangina Stone, she's a singer-songwriter. She came on the podcast and she spoke about this, about being boxed into one thing. So she's an R&B singer, but she doesn't necessarily speak on all the things that people expect an R&B singer to speak about. She speaks on political matters, too. Yeah. You know, things that inspire her, things that anger her, whatever the case may be, she speaks on it, and that separates her from everyone else. It makes her a little bit different, and I feel like your music, the way you're doing everything, is similar in that sense, where everything is visual, everything has a meaning. You're slowly taking this route to be where you want to be in maybe the next 2-3 years. Yeah. So at the end of the day, there's no flopping in that. That's passion. That's dedication.
Again,
that's hard work.
That's just a word to me.
You gotta leave.
I could really give
that.
A shit about what they call me, because they're very creative. But I think I'm just saying, like, I think it's people just, they don't know how to figure it. They've never seen anything like this. And because I grew up in something else with them, because I grew up with everybody on television, it's so confusing to them because they can't possibly see a girl come from this and to become this. But if you look at any artist, when they first came out to what they are now, it's completely different from everybody. Like, I've seen, like, old Beyonce, new Beyonce, all great, but just different.
Rihanna,
Pana Replay to Rihanna now, two completely different. Great, but different.
I'm not going to lie. When I first heard Rihanna, when I first heard Pana Replay, I thought it was like a Nina Sky record. Like that shit is laughable now.
I always go back to that.
But that's
that
my like, just it's just so it's a different reality of right. Everybody changes. It's just interesting who we accept and who we don't, you right. know. I think that's just a difference, but it's all good stuff. It's just an interesting dynamic to see who us put limits on certain people and not others. Right. I think that's not just in music, but in everything.
Right. Let's get into this relationship because our listeners need help out there. Like we have
what? The and you asking me for help?
Listeners, yep. But they be going
my crazy ass. Please let me get a disclaimer first. Do not take any of this seriously that I'm about to say. Okay, go.
All right. So we got somebody that wrote, "Hey guys, I'm a single mother. My daughter is now 5 years old.
Oh my God.
Since we met, her father and I have always been on and off. Our relationship has never been easy. There's this feeling that I keep getting every time that I show up to places or events with my daughter and I'm asked about her father. It's almost embarrassing at the moment. She is still at an age where we can make it work for her sake before she becomes a teenager and is really affected by this. Okay. What do you guys think? And being a single parent is so tough sometimes."
First of all, I'm not a parent, so that's going to be hard for me to really say anything because there's a respect level to people who have kids. But it's a hard one. I think if you upfront with it and you figure out where he is for real and if he's showing no signs of changing, that's a moment where you have to make a large decision. And I'd rather raise a child with the most love you possibly can on your own than force something that isn't real and then your child still get affected by it in the long run anyway. Because a dad who's there isn't necessarily a dad who's present. Mm. You know what I mean? Like a dad can be there, but if he's not present in her life in the way that she needs to, him being there is just like him being gone. So if he's not, you know, if she can have an adult conversation with him and sit down and say, look, this is what we need for the daughter, and he can commit to that, then great. If he can't, then I don't think she should force something, because you can't change a person. You can't change them you can't make him want to be there for his daughter. He's got to want to be there.
Wait, hold on now, because I'm lost.
Rob, you have kids, so
yeah, I got two.
I kind of want
to
hear
boys.
What's
the deal now?
So she's not with the father,
right?
But for her daughter's sake, she wants to know because she feels like every time she goes out with the daughter, she's asked about the father.
Wait, but is she trying to be in a relationship with him?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
She said they've been on and off.
I thought she wanted to get with him to get with the daughter, co-parent. But right. If she's trying to get with him to get with him, sound like she's just trying to get with him right. and use the baby to get with him.
No, she said she is still at an age where we can make it work for her sake. I think her main importance is the daughter.
But she wants to be with him.
She got to ask a real question.
Make it work.
Yeah, it sounds like she's beating around it. But I don't think it's for the daughter's sake, because she's saying you don't have to be with him to co-parent.
Yeah.
Right.
He can be there. But if you just trying to use homegirl, like, I think we can make it work for the baby, that's a disaster.
Yeah, that's
a force.
I think making anything work for any other reason is never going to work. I mean, you have the daughter in the picture. Yes, in a perfect world, the parents are together and it's a happy family, but that's not always the case. And like what you said, you know, being there doesn't mean that you're present.
Yeah, if he can co-parent with it, then and he agrees to that, which it probably sounds like he wants to do,
right.
then that's great. If she was using him to have a relationship, that's going to turn into resentment, because you can't force somebody just for the sake of the daughter, because the moment the daughter is not around, if they can't, if the daughter's going to see that.
I got you right now. She on that old school Billie Jean shit.
Yeah, she needs to say whether or not she needs to say whether or not she wants to be with him as a relationship, or for the kid to be there as to see them as co-parenting.
Right.
That's two different things.
Yeah, because for me, I got two sons and my wife and I are together. We have a relationship, and if that relationship was to ever cease, I'm still their father and I'm still in their lives and we're going to make that work. You don't have to be in a relationship. I think there's plenty of examples out there of women who raise kids, you know, and men too, in a single household. And it's up to the father whether or not nothing's going to stop me from being my kid's father.
And it could be great. All functions, they can go together. It can almost feel like he's present. It's just he's not there to sleep, you know, sleep.
Yeah.
But as far as being an awesome father and picking up from school and being there, that can happen. That can be done. But if she's trying to do a relationship just for the sake of the child, that's a bit dangerous.
And yeah. And shout to Rico Love, because I feel like Rico Love wrote this song called
Go
For
Listen
the Kids.
To TTLO, please.
For the Kids.
For the Kids. Stay for the Kids. Please. And he actually wrote it in an ironic voice. The song is saying Stay for the Kids, but he's actually singing like, that's the worst thing you could do, because what are you going to do when the kids grow up and you're together?
It's resentment. Yeah. It's when you resent each other.
I think so. For every relationship question, I'm just going to refer them to his albums.
Yeah,
Rico.
Rico's album
is
amazing.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's my therapist.
He wrote a lot of stuff for Dirty Money.
Yeah.
That album is ridiculous.
He's super ill. A friend of the show. Like, he's somebody that I hit. Like, if I got something going on.
Oh, Rico.
I'm like, yo, bro, like.
Tell him, give me some goddamn advice.
Yeah, no, he gives the best advice.
He really does.
Nah, that's dope. All right, so cool. So if you have any more relationship questions for the Red Light Special, hit us up at redlightspecialpc@gmail.com, right?
Yep, redlightspecialpc@gmail.com.
Yep, and we'll answer those questions. Y'all got to get your life together. I definitely want to hear more positive stories. Like, you know, send us a positive one every once in a while. So I just want to know that y'all
my
right.
child and our husband, and it's always bad. It'd be nice to hear something good. Let's be in good relationships.
Dawn, I want to know, when you going to get into this comic book thing?
It's a good question. Let me get this music thing right.
I'm just saying.
Let me get this music thing. Like for real. Like, I'm a new artist.
Right.
If you think about it, like, this new territory and this world that I've been, you know, tapping into, it feels good. So I want to really get my feet really wet and master that and get the respect of the right people so that I can move the way I want. Because people have failed to realize before, you know, making the moves that I'm making now, it was two people, just me. Right. And another person. So all of this that we've done, booking the shows, everything is.
Wow.
So that takes a toll on me as an artist. So I can't do the comic books and stuff because I'm busy being the finances, the manager, the PR, the everything. But once I can get that team, I have a really, really cool idea. I just did this dope thing with Adult Swim, with the Adult Swim singles, where I'm part of their single for 2015. So it's like me and Skrillex did something, and like Flying Lotus, and they were all on the singles thing. So it's really cool. So again, I'm getting my feet wet into the territory, and I really, really, really love Adult Swim.
Right.
So I've been working with them on some projects as well that I got coming up that I'm really excited about.
It's just so funny how in that world, like I came, like I said, my first job ever was in the comic book store.
Mm-hmm.
I've written a story for DC Comics that's been published. So like I'm in tune to that. And I think it's kind of weird being like a hip hop head and then people don't expect you to have this nerd
it's
side.
It's a big, big market that people don't even know is massive.
Huge.
It's so massive and super creative, and some of my favorite artists, like really incredible. And I think only one other artist, well, a couple of artists tapped into it, but I really love what Courtney Love did when she came out with Princess AI, and she had did like a feature with her. It was really, really cool how she did the manga, and it was dope. And I thought, when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. And that's how the whole thing kind of came about. But my dream has a lot to do with the anime world.
Okay.
And I want to make a lot of investments in it that I have that's on another page that hasn't even been talked about. It's like a big master scheme that, you know, as I get older, I kind of want to play with, because music is my love, but I can always do this. What people don't understand is, like, again, like, this ain't for like no number ones and no,
right.
I'm going to do this. This is cool. But like, I've got some really cool ideas because I can draw. There's a lot of things I want to do that's beyond just this. So like I said, that relationship with Adult Swim was crucial for me.
And I feel like it's needed. I feel like women don't get a lot of opportunity in the anime and the comic and the
not
sci-fi.
Not let alone a black woman.
And then women of color, almost no opportunity.
Again, like, that's what I was telling them. Like, people don't even know the moves we make, and they so busy focused on it. We doing some dope things, and I really want to inspire, because I didn't have a lot of people that looked like me doing this.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, all the people that I liked was majority. They were white.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, I didn't see color. I just liked the music, but it was a shame because I couldn't ever put the face to what was happening. So I just really want to inspire the nerds out there.
That's
that
dope.
Look, the brown nerds,
right?
Then of the world.
When you get there, you got to visit our friends or our podcast brothers. Ben Amin, he has a podcast called Fan Bros, which is dedicated.
That's dope. You know who else is like that? Fauntleroy.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
He's a super, like, yo, he makes some cool stuff too. Oh, no. He's like Black Mario and all of this stuff. He's dope. He's into it too.
Yeah, cool. Tell him to come on the
Yeah, he's fam. Yeah, he's a really, he's another great writer.
Ill.
He's super ill. But again, like, it's exciting. So I'm playing with that as well. I love that you asked that, because I'm literally stalking Adult Swim. I'm like, what else can I do? And they're like, let me give you this. So after this project that I'm going to do with them, if it does well and I do well with it, I think it might open a door for me to do some other cool stuff with them, because I've been a fan of Adult Swim for a long time, and I think what they do is genius.
I think you'd have a pretty good place there too. With everything
they believe
doing
in artists, they, and they believe in new artists. They love new sounds. So like them asking me to do, I did a record called Running From Sane, which is on their singles thing, and you can download it for free on the Adult Swim website. It's really cool because they were like, yo, we love what you're doing. There's a whole bunch of different people on this singles that's new and innovative, and they're always about it. So like they keep pushing it forward. So it's really cool to see them tap into the markets that most people won't touch.
That's amazing.
And that's, to me, that's what makes them stand out. Okay. And they're the only station like them. Like only. It's really great.
Super dope.
Yeah.
The Red Era.
Yeah.
When are we getting that?
Good question. Right now it's halfway done. But again, the business side of me is trying to make the right decision to make the right place for it. So it was going to be next year, and it may still be, I don't know, but this is organic, this one. Mm-hmm. People fail to realize I put like an album out every year, maybe two sometimes. So this
plus
one,
plus the EPs, and
a whole bunch of music. Yeah. I think with this one, I want to make sure if it's the final and the finale that it's like, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. I want people to be really, really like blown away, and it's nothing like doing it consistently. And if I can make this even better than Blackheart, that's just like unheard of to albums where your Metacritic score goes higher. Like Golden Heart was 80, and then Blackheart was 84. Wow. Like mainstream artists are getting like 65, 70. Kills. Like they're brutal. They're brutal on the Metacritics. If I could get this one where like to a place that's respected and a great level, that would be like crazy, because normally you kind of go up and down. It's like you do a good year and then your sophomore album is kind of like, because you're, you know, you make a great album, it's hard to top it, you know. I just want to make sure I'm always giving the right kind of music to the people, not just making them buy shit. That's so disrespectful.
Right.
Yeah.
Nah, that's dope, man. Well, we respect you. I'm so glad that you came up on
thank
the show.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you, and make sure you guys see Dance. The single's available now on iTunes, and the video is out, and it's at 500,000 already in just 1 month.
I saw that.
it's a good feel right now. So if y'all support your girl, it's always a good thing.
Definitely. No doubt. And where can I get you on social?
Yeah, it's Dawn Richard, the way you said it, DawnRichard, and that's on all avenues. But once you get to me, you can just call me Dawn.
Dawn. Cool, Chris.
I love you guys.
Oh, man, I love you too.
Chris, you're gorgeous, by the way, and your hair smells like lilies on an afternoon day.
If Tax was here, he would agree. Every
don't
time I
feel left out. Not gorgeous.
Your shirt is like lilies on an afternoon day.
I'm wearing a shirt with roses on
and
it.
And you're beautiful as well. Just your physical, but your mental.
Thank
you. Your soul is just. Yeah. I'm really happy you came to talk about everything.
Thank you. I appreciate this. I don't get out much. So New York always good to me, though.
Right.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Thank y'all.
And thank you for waiting. She was.
Well, it was good. Your shirt kept me company. Early. Tell your girlfriend to trust the shirt.
My wife, man.
Oh, your wifey.
My girlfriend had nothing to do with it.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah, she is
on a Tuesday night when y'all trying to play roles.
I call her by a different name.
Yeah, that's the way you keep the marriage hot.
Yeah,
tell your beautiful wife your shirt is working for you.
Thank you. You know, the funny thing was, she gonna get mad when she hear this.
No, because she's awesome. No,
she told me not to buy this sweater.
Maybe she was like, you look too sexy. I don't want nobody else touching my man, because my man is the only man. You know what I'm saying?
She's like,
give her credit. She was trying to keep you to herself.
There you go. She thought I had another one just like it. I'm like, nah, I don't. It's just the one-on-one.
She was like, babe, two isn't just too much.
Yeah.
So they always say, right? Like, you got one like that.
Because she's trying to save money. I know where her head is at, girl. I'm with you. I'm with you, girl.
Crazy.
I'm with you. Always take the bite. I'm with you.
Listen, let me stop before I get myself in trouble.
Yep, because it's all about her. Yay.
Yeah. Chris. Where can they find you?
Twitter, Instagram at Chris Lover. That's KRISLOVAA.
Okay, and you can't talk about that Netflix thing. I might have let it out the bag.
I think you did. Honestly,
I
if I were
just
to
gave it all away.
I mean,
Netflix is booming, yo. Yeah. They're coming to a whole nother level. I'm so proud.
I personally, I don't know if I can say it. I didn't say it. All I can say is.
We're not gonna
say
nothing.
I play an inmate in it, so
word.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, you just told everything, bruh. That congratulations, bruh. That's what's up. I love it, bruh.
trying to work up to a bigger role,
but
so
that's
you know,
okay because that's
somewhere.
How you come, and that's a good show.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm Narcos. All about that.
We don't know.
That's a good Narcos. Alleged show. It's a
that's,
good
that's
alleged show.
That's another show I would love. Listen, I'm Narcos. Ecuadorian. It's all Colombians on there. I could play it. So.
That's true.
There
it's a go. Good. But yeah. Good look.
I'm not on anybody's TV show, but
oh,
you catch me on genius.com.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, man. They keep me on the web. Shout out to Mac Miller, man. He made a name for me. Called me DJ Tough, which is too ugly for TV. Yeah.
No, your Mac wife doesn't think so.
No, hell no. Mac
listen.
Fuck you, Mac Miller. Yo, this is Rob Markman. You catch me on Twitter at @robmarkman and Red Light Special, RLS Podcast on Twitter. Hit us up and we're going to see you back next week. We're going to take you out with Jake and Pop. Shout out to Dawn Richard.
Hey,
great yeah. conversation. Peace.
And that's the motherfucking truth about